Good. Good to see all you out on this snowy day. I thought there'd be less of us, but now I notice the front rows have been filling up this morning. It's kind of neat, isn't it? You know, because everybody usually just heads to the back, you know, and fills up that first. But it's good to see everybody here this morning fairly close. So we're going to look at fasting this morning. And last week that was announced, and I had planned something else for today. And it's amazing that sometimes God just opens the door and says, yeah, that's right, but you know what, you're going to go this direction. And so that's what we're looking at this morning, is fasting, and what that involves and that entitles in our lives, right? Now my question to you is very simple. When was the last time you heard any teaching, any preaching on fasting? When was the last time? Really getting you to think, eh? The last time for me was 5 years ago. And I followed the Lord for 45 years already, plus. So I've only heard it once. How many times have you heard it? Considering what the Bible talks about and really shows in His Word, that it's a good thing for us to fast. But why is that? What is the reason that not very much has been taught on it? Ever thought about that? First one, of course, is we have no really teaching on it. Nobody really wants to teach on it or preach on it, right? Another reason would be that, do you know what the ascetic movements were in the church? Monks and different groups. You remember what they did for fasting? You know, they did some really weird stuff. You want to get into some weird stuff, what they did in their fasting, it would really throw you for a loop. Could you imagine sitting on a pole for 40 days? Never coming down. You know, they did all types of weird stuff. And of course, people got the idea that we're not going to do it. Another reason is most people think, well, it's a Jewish custom. That's just for the Jewish people. That's just for the people over in Israel. And it's an Old Testament practice, and we don't need to practice it today. It's something old. But you know, there's another reason fasting touches upon a very personal matter to all of us. You know what that is? Food, right? That's what the first thing comes to my mind. Fasting, food, no food. We've been convinced that if we do not have 3 square meals per day, dessert for at least for 2 of those meals, several snacks in between, we are on the verge of starvation, right? Of course, you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? See? But the Bible has so much to say about fasting, presenting fasting as something that is good not only spiritually for us but also physically. It is profitable for us as well, and it's beneficial for us as well. All right? Too often we think of fasting as refraining from eating from food. But if you get into God's Word, you'll discover it's just not food. All right? We know that there is partial fasts. Some of them record that they would not eat certain foods, like Daniel. He said, I didn't eat these type of foods. I didn't drink these type of drinks. And then what else Daniel said? During these 3 weeks of mourning and fasting, I did even put perfume oil on my body. Interesting, eh? He'd be pretty fragrant after 3 weeks, though, wouldn't he? And it even goes farther than that. If you read actually in 1 Corinthians 7, we will find a passage of scripture where a husband and wife agrees that during a tense time of prayer and fasting to separate from each other, sleep in separate rooms. So fasting involves every area of our lives, just not food. All right? And the purpose of fasting should be to take our minds and our hearts and our eyes off the things of this world. The problems we are facing, a situation where there seems to be no answer, but we would need an answer. And what fasting really does, it focuses our total attention and our soul being upon God. It is waiting upon Him for an answer. All right? Fasting is an activity that demonstrates to God and to others that we are serious about our relationship with Him. All right? Helping us gain a new perspective and a renewed alliance upon God. It is to be done in a spirit of humility, in an attitude of joyfulness. So we're going to start looking at fasting. And hopefully that you'll, like I said, I put this together quite quickly. And so first question is, should Christians fast today? Of course, I already put the answer up. What is it? Yes. Because of the teaching of Jesus. Matthew 6:16, I'm just going to read that. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. And then in verse 18 it says, so that it will not be obvious to them that you're fasting. So basically, just make yourself look normal. And your Father sees what you're doing, and he'll reward you. All right, but did you notice what Jesus said? He said what? When. Not if. He said when. So he's saying to us that we are going to fast from time to time. All right? Indicating that fasting is a normal and an acceptable practice within the Christian life. And he just assumes that we're going to fast on certain occasions. But what I like is he does not command us to do it, right? He does not say what? Thou shall fast? He says when you're going to fast. He doesn't demand it. He doesn't say, well, you know what? On this day, on this month, and at this time, you're going to fast. He doesn't say, well, it's got to be done in this place. It's got to be done this way. He just says when. And that tells us one thing about fasting. It is something that's to be done between you and God. All right. It's a private matter that you do with him. He taught that fasting should be done properly. And in fact, I just read the verse in Matthew 6:18. It says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. All right. Another answer to our question is yes. And it's because we have the examples of the first century church fasting. Right? The church of Antioch fasted and prayed when they sent out Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. Acts 13:1-3 says, in the church at Antioch, while they were worshiping the Lord, and what? Fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and then sent them off. And one thing we must know is this. Only God knows how much the leadership of this church can be strengthened if they are determined to find God's will and God's plan and purpose for Slave Lake Alliance. The early church did not choose or send out leaders carelessly or because they were popular. Above all, they sought and followed God's will. Fasting and prayer were part of their sincere dedication to know God's purpose and will within the churches and to know his power before any decision was made, any plan was made, or any action was taken. They seeked God first. And we need to do that today as well. Another reason is because of the Old Testament, and in the New Testament teach fasting. As Christians, we should fast, and for there are times when we are in need of God's help and guidance. And this is consistent in both New Testament and Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they fasted in times of an enemy attack. You read that. When you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that when the enemy was coming, they had a fast. They wanted to know what to do. Is God going to deliver them? Was God going to give them victory? And how they were going to go to battle? And remember, one of them they did, and God gave them the plans. You can read that throughout the Old Testament. Even when a loved one was sick, they fasted. When seeking God's forgiveness, and when seeking God's protection, that was something that was impending danger, something was going to take place. When seeking God's will, they wanted to know his direction. And then in times of grief, we know that as well. And in the New Testament is the same way. They fasted when dealing with temptations or being tested, when the enemy was attacking. When serving God, when they began a new work or to send new workers out, or when they appointed or selected elders and leaders in the church, they fasted. They made sure that they were in touch with God and that God would reveal to them what to do and how to do it. So my conclusion is that from this very short little speech, is fasting for us today, for Christians, is it? You guys are kind of silent, like, so the answer is yes, right? Right? God's word is full of it. What happens when Christians fast? What happens when we fast? First of all, I want to look at the combined power of prayer and fasting. And you will find that within God's word, that prayer and fasting go hand in hand. They are connected. In fact, you will find that this type of fasting does not involve repentance or confession. Luke 2:37, the prophetess Anna never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. So here we find in the Bible and quite a few places that fasting and prayer go together. It is necessary. Fasting is an affirmation of intense prayer, a result of a deep spiritual struggle with God to know what He wants to take place in our lives. Fasting along with prayer seems to indicate the sincerity of the one praying and the critical nature of the situation in which someone finds themselves. The more critical the condition or the situation, the more appropriate the fasting and prayer. Prayer is a tool that is needed within the battles that we face every day. And fasting helps us to focus and helps us to find the answers that God is going to give to us. Now, I want to look at the passage that Ryan read. Some of you probably wondered, well, how can fasting be, what does that chapter have to do with fasting? Well, once we get into it, we'll discover what's going on. Because God gives us instructions about improper fasting, proper fasting, and then some blessings, all right? First, let's look at improper fasting. Fasting to get God's attention. In verse 3 of this chapter that was read, we read these words, "Why have we fasted? Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" What are they telling? They're telling God, look, we're fasting. You're not even noticing what we're doing. We even humbled ourselves and you're not even noticing. They were upset, frustrated that God wasn't paying attention to what they were doing. All right? They couldn't figure out why all this activity wasn't awakening God. All right? Improper fasting. Second one is not focusing on God. We find that in the rest of verse 3. Yet on the day you're fasting, what does it say? You do as you please and exploit all your workers. So basically, fasting had become just an activity, something that just had to be done. All right? No humbling of the soul, no seeking after God. In fact, they exploited those that worked with them. They just did what they wanted. And there was no humility of heart. That's found in verse 4. This is a verse I just, when I read it, I was quite astounded that this would take place. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So here we find that their fasting, their times of fasting turned into what? A brawl, right? They were beating each other up. Do you think God is going to pay attention to that? I don't think so. God did not listen to their prayers, their requests, or their petitions because of what they were doing. And then over, the next thing is, only for a brief external show. Look at verse 5. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a person to humble themselves? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for laying on sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Then if you look over at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, it says, and when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, who try to look pale and dishevel so people admire their fasting. So what they used to do, they used to get in the morning, they used to fast once a week usually, and they would go and they would make their face look really gray or whatever, or pale. They'd mess their hair up and dress, and then go out to the corners and pray. All right? That's what they used to do. All right? And the rest of the verse says, I assure you that that is the only reward you'll ever get. The reward was the praise they got from people that noticed them. God saw that they had fasted, but only for a show, an outward appearance of spiritual piety that really meant nothing. They put on a show for all to see, and that's all it was. So, now let's look at proper fasting. And we'll look at that in the rest of the chapter as well. First, freedom from wickedness. Verse 6 says, "In this, is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bounds of wickedness?" Now, the word wickedness, I'm going to guarantee you, because when I actually read that word, something else popped into my mind. Right? It's like, I think of wickedness as being something really naughty. You know? That's what I thought of. That's what ended up in my mind. But the word wickedness is referring to the attitude, the acts, and responses. What they were doing during the fasting. And what were they doing? Doing as they pleased? They were fighting. They were exploiting their workers. They were pretending to be pious. A lot of hot air was going on. They just did whatever they had to do. It is what they were doing during the fast that was wickedness. And who among us has not come to the conclusion that maybe there are certain practices which we need to be set free from? It's not that we doubt God's power to help us have victory, but the bounds of unwholesome practices and activities maybe are tightly wrapped around us. Maybe it's time we had a time of fasting and intense prayer to be broken free from those bonds and seek the freedom and the peace and the victory that God gives. Another reason for fasting is the relieving of a heavy burden. And verse 6 says, to undo the bands of the yoke and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. And of course, in Matthew 11, a very popular and very well-known passage in verse 28 starts how? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So when we fast and we pray and humble our hearts, God will begin to sort through all the things in our life. He'll begin to remove those things that are heavy on us, those things that entangle us, and then replace them with Himself, giving us the freedom and the victory and the peace that we need. And I also discovered in this chapter that fasting also increases our sensitivity towards the needs of others. Look at verse 7. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them? And I think that when we really get into a tense time of prayer and fasting, God really opens our minds and our hearts to the needs of others. Whatever it is that God lays upon our heart, let's do what He asks us to do, especially in the needs of others. And the fourth one I found here was a deeper investment into one's own life. Verse 7, it says, you will not hide yourself from your own flesh. Though the activity of fasting is not for show, it is really good to let your family know what you're doing and your intentions. Fasting will give you the time to focus on them and their needs, and their desires. Fasting makes them realize that your relationship with God is very important, not only to draw you closer to God, but I believe that during the time of fasting, you will also draw each member of your family closer to each other, but also closer to God. Now let's look at some blessings that I found in this verse, this passage. Fasting and praying in humility with a purpose brings remarkable blessings. First, insight and understanding. Verse 8, it says, "Then your light will break forth like dawn." And then Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." As we engage in fasting and prayer, God will give us insight, give us light and understanding into what we need to understand. And all of us have from time to time have entered a room that is dark. Do you know the layout of that room if you've never been there? A room that's unfamiliar with you? I don't like going in those rooms because, number one, I'm probably going to stub my toe on something. Or I'm going to step on something or fall down into something, right? What do I need to do to have understanding in that room? Turn the light switch on, right? Turn the light on. See, God gives us insights and light when we spend time with Him and in His Word. In fact, it is His Word that is His voice to each one of us. All right? So maybe we've got to turn the light on once in a while. Open God's Word, and He'll give us insight and understanding. Second one I found is healing, found in verse 8. "And your healing will quickly appear." And I think that in times of fasting or intense prayer, I think that is that time too that God brings healing to our spiritual lives and our spiritual health. It may even also spill over into the physical as well. In the activity of fasting and prayer, there's clarity to go right to the heart of an issue, to know and have a sense of what is right, and requires a great deal of time each day, immersing oneself in God's Word in the practice of prayer. And I combine both the spiritual healing and the sense of what is right together, all right? Because I think they go hand in hand. We also find protection. Isaiah 5:8. "The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." See, God's presence will be with us and follow us and provide protection in our spiritual walk. When we're walking with God, we're always moving forward. We're always moving forward, aren't we? Always moving forward. What is unprotected? Just like in the physical life, we go for a walk down the street. We're focused going this way. Do we know what's behind us? But here we find that God protects us. His presence protects us right around us. And He's watching over us. Also, too, when we call upon God, He will answer. Verse 9. "Then you will call and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help. And He will say, here am I." What a privilege we have. An awesome privilege that we can go into the presence of God. We can go to the throne and be there with our Heavenly Father and spend time with Him in prayer. And we know that at times He'll answer us. All right? He'll reveal what needs to be taken care of and fixed in our lives. Another one I found was freedom from spiritual oppression. "Your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday." I know from time to time, and this is me talking about myself, I've experienced times of gloominess. Have you? How many of you easily provoked from time to time? I am. How many of you often disgruntled? Mm-hmm. And how many of us just want to be left alone? Okay, I'm just like you guys. And I get that way from time to time. For me, that speaks of really heavily that my spiritual life is kind of out of whack. Something is going on. And I realize that it's a time just to get down before God. And in any time of prayer, maybe even fasting, to lift that oppression? What is it that's causing it? And then let it go and give it to Him. And then He'll give you the peace that you need and restore you to a right relationship with Him, not only to Him, but maybe to others, because your attitude has maybe hurt them as well. All right? The other one is guidance from God. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. Every Christian must be guided by the principles and counsels of Dr. Phil? God's Word, right? God's Word. And I think that during the time of fasting and intense prayer, we begin to sense a deeper understanding of God's Word. All right? He takes us deeper and deeper into His Word, because it is His voice that is speaking to us. And we begin to hear, okay, this is what needs to be done. This is the way to go. This is the help you need. What a comfort to know that He is watching us and guiding us every step of the way. Another one is satisfaction. Verse 11, He'll satisfy your needs in the sun-scorching land. I think some of us have been to southern states and to Mexico, right? You've been to some of those desert places. It's hot, right? It is hot, you know. We were in Texas, Kathy and I, we were going to school, and our air conditioner packed it down, and it was 112. And you talk about a scorching hot day, you know. But here, God will bless us. Even when we're in those deserts, in those times of wilderness, God is there with us, and He will bless us, all right, and refresh us. We find, too, that we find strength to do God's work. Verse 11, He'll strengthen your frame. And I think that fasting and prayer often results in a renewal of spiritual strength so we accomplish the work God has placed before us. And those who wait upon the Lord will experience spiritual strength. And all of us know Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. In fact, there's a song about it, right? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Boy, I'm glad that He doesn't, hey? Boy, am I glad. And He is understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will what? Soar up like on wings. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Fasting and prayer strengthens us. All right? We find this fruitfulness. Find this in verse 11. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. So an oasis in a desert. A garden that produces fruit. Psalms 1:3 says that the one who enjoys God's word and meditates upon it will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do does prosper. And the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our lives. We find that in Galatians 5:22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first one? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So spending time in prayer and fasting, there will be fruitfulness in your life. Next one is restoration. Verse 12, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the old foundations. All of us who have homes know that from time to time we have to fix them. Right? I just did one last week. The guys left the problem go really a long time until the toilet nearly fell into the crawl space. So we ended up not just doing the bathroom, we ended up doing laundry room, bathroom, bedroom, and family room, a remodel. But it's the same in our spiritual house. Sometimes we just enter into our spiritual homes, and what do? We leave it for years, and we clutter the closets. It needs to be fixed. But during a time of fasting and prayer, God maybe said, you know what? You have to rebuild. You have to fix some things in life. Clean out those closets. Paint the walls. Fix the roof so it doesn't leak anymore. All right? Yes, he'll restore what has been lost. He'll restore you to again. But what is really interesting, once he restores you, did you know that you will become a restorer? Look at verse 12. You'll be called a repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and buildings. Once ourselves have been restored and our spiritual house has been restored, God will use you to restore someone else. All right? I know there is much more that could be said on this subject. We could spend another couple Sundays on it. I know that for a fact. But fasting and prayer is an activity for all Christians because it is a reminder to our physical body that there is something more important than our appetite, and that is a hunger and a thirst for God. All right? We must regularly consider the blessings made to those of us who fast and pray. And now I want to close. Can I make a few suggestions for this week? Am I allowed to do that? Okay. First one, if you have health issues, you got diabetic or you have heart problems or other conditions, consult your doctor first because they will help you to do a fast and do one that will not affect you physically. All right? So go talk to your doctor and they will help you, so that you will enjoy the time of fasting and intense prayer. Next one. Now, some of us can jump right into it and go for a whole week, no problem. Some of us cannot. So my suggestion is maybe just go slowly at it. Maybe the first day, just maybe eliminate one meal. Next day, do two. Just sort of gradually go into it. Or maybe just say, well, I'm not going to eat certain foods, but I'm going to eat these. All right? Determine what you're going to do. All right? You may jump right into it and realize after the second day that you can't do it. Right? You might not be able to handle it. So figure out what your strengths are. What can you do? And then go from there. Next one, when you're fasting and prayer, make sure you drink lots of water. We can go without food for quite some time. But within a few days without water, what happens? We can get in some real problems. And really sick. The next suggestion is simply this one. I know that the church has set a time, the board has set a time for this week. But I want you to know this. There is no time in the spiritual. All right? There's no time. God may say, well, yeah, 1 week is fine, but maybe I want 2 weeks. Be prepared. No time in the spiritual. And the next suggestion, don't make God into a genie. All right? I got 3 wishes. This is the ones I want you to meet. Don't box God in. Allow him to be the sovereign God of your life. All right? It may be a week. It may be two. But don't box God in and don't make him a genie. All right? And the last one, enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy this time that you would spend with him in prayer and fasting. And focus everything upon him. All right? Let's pray. And Father, there is so much that we can say about fasting. But Father, more than anything that we should understand, it is a time of intense prayer, a time to get to know you and get to know your heart and get to know you so that we can become you to those that need help as well. And Father, as we enter this week of fasting, prepare us to expect the unexpected. Father, in your wonderful name, amen.